Hello.
Hello, welcome back.
Yay. As always, I'm Megan.
And I'm Brooks.
And we're Sis
Bro.
Show.
A comedy.
Duo. We are getting so good at that.
Yeah. It's only taken us, what, two and a half months?
Baby steps.
Finally getting kind of the hang of it a little bit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was taking me like hours to edit our podcast, and now it takes hardly any time at all now that I know. Like, I'm keeping track of everything that happens and writing notes and stuff while we're doing the podcast, so I know what time we take a break and when it's over so that I can do the minutes of when the break is.
Professional.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're back with another episode.
Got my milk and honey.
Got my orange juice and pineapple rum. I was supposed to stop at 9, but hey, it's quarantine time.
What about making a meme with A Christmas Story? Where he's in the bathroom and he's deciphering the message.
Oh, yeah, the oval team.
Yeah, but it says stay in quarantine. You go, stay in quarantine, son of a bitch.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's good, right?
Yeah, that's really good. You should do that.
Yeah, my brother don't like that.
It will be viral. You should share it from our Sis Bro page.
You totally should.
How are you doing with the quarantine? It's like no different for me because I'm at home all the time anyway. So
yep. Same here.
The only thing different is now the kids are here all the time with me.
Yeah. I mean, the only difference is now they tell me that I can't go nowhere.
And yeah. All right. Whatever you say. And you have an excuse now. Oh, can't go nowhere. Sorry. Yeah. The goodness go is.
Because of quarantine.
I know our aunt still wants to do Easter, but now, like, gatherings of 10 or more people are, like, outlawed.
They're illegal.
Yeah. Like, the kids really want to go and hunt eggs, so I think I'm just going to get them some eggs and hide them in our yard. And then yeah, if other kids come over and want to do it, I'm like, hey, no, we got a social distance.
Social get out distance. Of here, kids. These are our eggs.
I coughed on all of them. But yeah, I mean, what is your take on everything that's going on? Like, it's very unprecedented. Never happened in the history of our country to have all of these shutdowns and everything. I mean, it's almost like wartime.
Wow. You know? I think the quarantine is just not gonna work. If it is spread this fast before, I mean, all it's gonna take is like one infected person. We're gonna be let out of quarantine. Everyone go back to normal, back to business, and then it's just gonna spread like wildfire again.
I know. You know, I listened to a podcast with Joe Rogan, and he had an infectious disease doctor, like an expert PhD. And he basically said the same thing that you said. Like, the quarantines should not even be happening. We should all just practice social distancing, keep ourselves from being in those large groups and everything, but still go about our day regularly, because no matter what you do, it's still going to be there. And you can't stop it.
Yeah.
You know, people are still getting sick with the quarantine, right? And some people are asymptomatic, which means they don't have any symptoms at all. So they don't even know they have it, and they're spreading it to everybody.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think maybe I had it, but I don't know. I had flu-like symptoms, and I tested negative for the flu, but this was before everybody had the test to
give
it out.
Also, me and Michael were talking, and he brought up a pretty good point that I think he said a study from Oxford, I want to say it's Oxford, did a study, and they believe that it had been spreading months beforehand, and the reason we're finding so many infected now is because it has already been spreading, but it's been so under the radar and looking like something else that we didn't pick up onto until it's like, hey, we're testing these people for corona and everyone's got corona.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about that too, that it's a very big possibility that it could have been everywhere before we heard about it. And I've had flu-like symptoms before and tested negative for the flu. And they're just like, oh, well, it's got to be another kind of virus.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could have been the novel coronavirus, mm-hmm. you know? But think about this. Like, they have so many strains of the cold, so many strains of the flu. What makes this one different? It's just new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, like, if old people get the flu, then it can be fatal for them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You are correct.
Yeah. So what makes this one different? Just the fact that we, it's a certain strain that we've never seen before. That's the only thing that makes it different.
Yeah.
So if it's a strain of the common cold and there are literally no vaccines out there for the common cold, then why will we make a vaccine for this one?
That's true. I mean, symptoms are, like you said, it's up in the air. Some people are just like, it affects them very little. They just mm-hmm. show like simple signs of it. Other people are, you know, get put in the hospital with it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they'll have it and feel kind of bad for a couple of days, but then recover.
It may other be people, also with how infectious it is, like how easy it seems that people are passing it to each other, how it stays on certain surfaces for so long.
Oh, that, you know, that is true. I remember hearing that too, that it like, it passes through the air and also stays on surfaces for like days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is a lot more infectious and gets spread around a lot quicker because of it.
Right. Well, that infectious disease doctor said most people are getting it from just breathing in the air that an infected person had breathed in previously.
Oh, good.
You know, and I mean, if you're around people, you're going to be breathing in the same air.
Yeah.
And I heard about the first infant that died of it in Illinois. Oh. Kevin just told me about that a couple hours ago. Which is sad, you know, to have an infant die.
Of anything, really.
Exactly. But, I mean, the infants die of the flu, too. So, there's nothing other than what you said about it being easily spread and it being new and living on surfaces for longer. Like, we just need to just deal with it. It's here. Like, there's nothing we can do. Yeah.
I mean, I honestly think, I mean, there's got to be something. There's got to be some type of med, something they can do to help, like, fend it off. There's got to be something they can come up with. I mean, I'm sure you see on Facebook and stuff all the time, they're working on stuff and they're trying to experiment with different things. Like you said before, they're actually, you know, paying people to get injected with it so that they can do tests and whatnot.
Yeah, and they're trying to come up with a vaccine for it. And they have a test come out now to see if you have the antibodies. So it test you to see if you've had it, but you're not showing symptoms. Mm. Because if you had it before and you're over it, then you're not going to test positive for it. If they give you the coronavirus test, you have to actually be sick with it at the time. So now they have an antibody test coming out that's going to test you to see if you have the antibodies for it, which means that you did have it, you just didn't have you had mild symptoms or maybe no symptoms at all. And they're going to study those people that have positive antibodies, meaning that they had it and they fought it off no problem. They're going to use their blood to see if they can come up with a vaccine.
Yeah. If you think about it though, this is can be a long lasting problem though. Like, it's not just a season. Like, with as much as people are carrying it and leaving it on surfaces and in the air, you know, this could be passing around and going around for quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the, so when you build up antibodies for it, it doesn't mean that you can't get it again. It's just going to be a while before those antibodies go away and you do get it again.
Yeah.
Just like with any of the shots that you get, the vaccines, you have to get a booster every so often or you're not going to be, you know, immune.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we've had things like this happen before, like the swine flu. Me, Cooper, and Henry both got the swine flu.
Huh.
And what was scary was Cooper and Henry got vaccinated against it and they still got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was, you know, helping to protect them by getting the vaccine, and I'm 100% for vaccines, but I think that the public should know that for these types of vaccines like flu and for viruses, they're not 100%. So just because you get the vaccine doesn't mean you can stop taking the precautions that you need to take, because you can still get it.
Yeah. So, I just think when they started doing this whole, like, was it shelter in place?
Yeah.
What states are calling it, where they're like trying to like close the like businesses down to only essential business can operate. I mean, you can still go out and like do stuff, but you're supposed to keep social distance. You're only supposed to go out if you need to do stuff like get food, get.
Yeah. You can only go out if you need food, if you are helping somebody, if you're going to the doctor, if you're exercising, if you're going to work.
Yeah.
I think, isn't that against our constitutional rights though, for them to tell us we can't do something?
I don't know. I guess if a cop pulls you over, like, what are you doing out here? Are you just speed away freedom?
Because free.
Because, like I said, the quarantine with the whole stay in place right now, it's not really affecting me any. So it's not really a big deal to me. I'm sure a lot of other people are getting, really affected by this. They're supposed to be doing that whole stimulus check thing for, for everyone, for the economy.
Yeah, but, if you're out of work for a couple of months, $1,200 isn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's going to be helpful, but it's not going to cut it. So, mm-mm. And that's why I say, it just seems like with how this virus is, as soon as everything goes back to normal, it's just going to spread like wildfire again.
Yeah. They can't keep everything closed forever.
Yeah.
You know, the kids have got to go back to school. For the love of God, they've got to go back to school. They can't stay here. And kids, I think that's where most things spread super fast is in school with a bunch of gross, grimy, drink sharing, won't wash your hands kids.
Sniveling, snot shooting.
Yeah, it's so. But yeah, that's why KJ and Vera gets sick all the time. Well, now Vera's in preschool, so she gets it from there. But before that, it was because the other kids were bringing it home from school, and my little ones. But, it built their immune system up so that when they did go to school, it wasn't like a shock for them. Like, no. Germs! But, yeah, I don't know how long this can go on. People are out of work, and I gotta say that I have used the coronavirus to get some things, to get my bills paid for a month. I got Disney Plus free for a couple months.
Well, that's nice of Disney.
Yeah, all I gotta do is call and be like, but the coronavirus, I don't have to say anything.
The corona's
else.
Got us.
And they're like, oh yes, we understand. We've got many, many clients that are customers that are facing hard times now. This is what we can do for you. And I'm like, thank you. That makes me feel a little better.
I appreciate it.
So yeah. I just feel sorry for the people that are out of work, like in the service industry, that have kids and are kind of stuck right now.
Yeah.
Kevin is definitely an essential employee because he has to clear trees from power lines or else we don't get power. And I would say power is pretty essential right now.
Yeah. With everyone being home, they need power for their homes.
They definitely do.
Yeah. More now than ever.
Right?
Yeah.
So he will still be working. They said that if it comes down to it and it just gets so bad that people are dying left and right, then maybe he won't have to go to work. But at the same time, people still need power.
Yeah.
I was reading something today that said the mathematic projections in 2 weeks, there will be 8,000 people dying a day in the United States from it.
What?
I don't know if that's true or not, but there's a video that explains it. I didn't want to watch the video because I don't want to scare myself even more.
That's just crazy. That's crazy though, because even if it does get that bad, like I said, even with the whole quarantine and stuff like that, I don't think it's not gonna do anything.
Yeah, and people are still going to the grocery store to get food, so right there, the whole social distancing thing.
Yeah, so we're done with.
Still going to gas stations. Kevin's still going to work, and he works outside of people's homes. So if anybody's got it and they get close to him, then he's going to bring it home, and then we're all going to get it. So yeah,
they're definitely strange times.
Yeah, and is this just going to mark the beginning of something, or is this a one-time thing? You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's got to be, like I said, there. I think the only solution that we have right now for it is that there has to be something, some type of medication over the counter, something that can be available to everyone that either helps you build like a resistance to it, helps you boost your
immune system. Is like a vitamin concoction that they've come up with in China that's helping. I was reading about.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something. It just takes a while for it to go past clinical trials because we have the FDA here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to like approve everything. Sometimes they'll give like a fast track to some things like they did with the swine flu vaccination and probably this vaccination, but it still takes time to get it approved, even if it's fast tracked, you know?
So maybe, I mean, that could be what this whole quarantine stuff is. Maybe it's just helping it from spreading as fast as it has been while they're working on stuff to try and do something to help with like preventative measures moving forward. Cause like I said, I don't foresee the quarantine alone being good enough to stop this thing.
Have you ever seen The Last Man on Earth, that movie? I mean, the show?
I think I've seen an episode of it.
What is his name that's on it from Saturday Night Live?
He played MacGruber?
Yes! Will Forte, that's his name. That was the aftermath of a virus that took out like almost everybody, and it was at the end of when the show started. It was the end of 2020.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
I know, right? And just a certain amount of people were immune to it because the first season or the first few episodes, it was just him, and he was the only one that was immune to it, and then he met, what's her name? And she, like, he thought, oh, finally, there's somebody here, and they got, he wanted to have sex with her, so they got married.
And there's another woman.
Yeah, then they saw another woman.
I think that was actually the episode I seen.
Well, I think that was either the second or third episode. Might have even been, well, the first episode, no, was him, like, figuring out what to do or where to live and stuff. He went to like a rich neighborhood to live and he made the pool his bathroom, his toilet. It was gross. But anyways, like what if that happens, you know? And this is it. This is it for everybody. And ain't no quarantine gonna help.
I guess we're just gonna have to wait and find out.
Yeah, I would like to hope that I was one of the ones
that was left.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. It would be super lonely, though.
Yeah, it would.
And then his brother, he lived, but he was an astronaut in space. And he kept, like, calling people. Every day he would like, and nobody would ever answer. That would suck.
Be stuck out in space.
Yeah. The only friend he had was like a caterpillar, and then the caterpillar died, and then nobody. Yeah.
Oh no.
And his brother was also a funny actor, and I always get him mixed up with the guy from The Hangover. And The Office.
Oh, Nard Dog?
I get him mixed up with that, but that's not him. He's the one that's in We Are the Millers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They are pretty similar.
Yeah, and they're both in that movie, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. They are.
Yeah.
What guy was that?
Oh, gosh, it was me. Sorry, my microphone got disconnected for a second.
Oh, okay.
Whew. Anyway, so yeah, it's a good show, but then it makes me think like, oh shit, were they onto something?
Possibly.
It's gonna end up like The Walking Dead, but with no zombies, just people. Yeah.
Just the walking.
Yeah. but maybe this could turn into a zombie type of infection. I mean, people are dying, but they're not telling us what happens to them after they die.
Yeah.
I mean, should we ask? Should we demand to know? Oh, man, I can imagine going to the press conference and be like, so you said so many people died. Could you please tell us what happens to them after they die?
Well, really, no one knows. Where are the bodies? They moved the tombstones, but you didn't move the bodies.
I say that all the time and nobody ever gets it.
No.
No, I'm like, poltergeist, come on.
That's such a good one. Hopefully we get a lot of listeners who are big into 90s references. I like to sometimes, even if I stand there in the mirror brushing my teeth, I'll start touching my face like it's falling off, and then I'll start grabbing at it and going,
Well, that was an 80s movie, though.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was an 80s movie.
Well, we mean, technically, we grew up within the 90s, though. So.
We did. It was 90s to us.
It was 90s to us because it was 90s when we watched it.
Lots of 80s movies, like, to me, I thought were the 90s. Like, songs. Like, there's a band, a country music band called Shenandoah that I love because I remember listening to them when I was young in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But their songs came out in the 80s.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I think we were raised in like an older generation time. Like, we were behind the times quite a bit. And
that makes sense.
So we grew up watching Andy Griffith, I Love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke Show. You know, we had the old TV, just the one family television in the living room for like the longest time.
We did. We never had a computer until I bought one.
And that was like well into like we were like teenagers by then.
Yeah, I had already graduated high school.
So we were behind the times quite a bit. So we did grow up. And I mean, we still had the 90s stuff that we were into, but we were still behind the times.
Very much so. We really were. I mean, but we lived in the South. I think a lot of people were.
Yeah.
People definitely still had mullets.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of the 80s.
I still like mullets. I think eventually they're going to come back. You know one thing I wish would come back?
What?
The fanny pack.
It has been coming back.
Really?
When I went to Mardi Gras, tons of people had a fanny pack.
Oh, man. I loved fanny packs when I was little.
You know, they Joe were so Rogan. Convenient. Joe Rogan sells fanny pack.
Really?
They don't call them that, though, but it's definitely a fanny pack. And it's made of, like, 100% leather.
Oh.
Oh, so yes.
It's a fancy fanny pack. It's a fancy pack.
It's a fancy pack, yep.
Oh, you mean my fancy pack.
Yeah. Well, like, when we were, the Uber driver picked us up from the airport in New Orleans and was taking us to our hotel, you know, it was like the midst of Mardi Gras. People were in the street. We saw lots of people. We saw like lots of drunk people trying to walk. It was pretty, pretty funny. And then we saw the fanny packs and we started making fun of them. And then the driver was like, no, trust me, the fanny pack's the way to go. She said, because during Mardi Gras, there's pickpocketers and they will get you. If you put anything in your back pocket, you can like 100% be sure it's not going to be there when you get back to your hotel. She's like, if you keep in your fanny pack, nobody's going to get it. She said, yeah. I was like, oh, you were making fun of them and they were smart.
Yeah, and they were smart.
Yeah. So I didn't get a fanny pack, but I did get one of those cross body things and I kept the purse part in front of me and it had like 3 zippers on it. So nobody was getting my stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll try and get a fancy pack eventually and do my part in bringing them back because I used to wear them all the time when I was little and they were super helpful.
They were. I know. Like on field trips, we used to have them. I remember going to DC and having my fanny pack with my disposable camera and my souvenir money.
We always got to stop by the gift shop.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take a break and listen to this word from our sponsor.
Oh.
Hope you enjoyed that word from our sponsor.
Exciting as always.
We are such good sponsorship readers.
Yeah, we are.
Well, we came up with our own ad for this one. We didn't read anything. Unscripted 100%.
Yeah, we just kind of was winging it.
We spoke from the heart.
And really, that's what we do here on the show, is that we take our sponsors very seriously. We speak about them from the heart.
From the heart. Nothing but the best for our sponsors.
Exactly.
Okay. So, quarantine, fanny packs. What's next?
Yeah, we're hitting all the hot topics tonight, yes. Okay?
Yep.
So we already gone over quarantine and fanny packs. Those are the two biggest ones that we wanted to hit. Two biggest bullet points. We knocked that out the park.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about us growing up in the 90s, wrestling.
Yes.
I told you that Kevin wanted to get like the free month of the wrestling network or whatever, the app, so we could watch wrestling and get the kids into it. And honestly, I haven't watched wrestling and I can't tell you how long.
Well, I actually tried and I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it? It wasn't like it used to be.
The days of like NWO or the Attitude Era have long passed. Wrestling has become more family friendly, which may not be a bad thing, just not for me.
No. We need Buff the Stuff.
Yeah, where's old Buff the Stuff Bagwell these days?
Right.
Actually, we didn't really meet him. I didn't meet him. Me and Dave stood across the street and looked at him and was like, man, we'd whoop his ass. Because he's a lot shorter than I thought he was going to be.
He is a lot. Well, I mean, he's not too short.
But he was
shorter. He's like 6 foot.
I'm 6 foot. I'm pretty sure he was shorter than me.
But he looks little.
I bet he's buff.
But he's buff.
Hence the name Buff the Stuff Bagwell.
His real name's Marcus. I remember that.
Well, on the topic of wrestling, who is your favorite wrestler of all time?
Oh, man. Of all time?
Of all time.
Whew. Let me think about it. You go ahead.
All right. Let me go ahead and tell mine. This is going to give you enough time here. Mm-hmm. Because my favorite wrestler of all time is the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah. He's a good one.
Yeah.
I think mine would have to be Sting.
Yeah, Sting?
Yeah, Sting.
Uh-huh, that's a good one.
Uh-huh, he's very mysterious, you know? Mm-hmm. I like the mystery.
Do you remember Sting back in the day before he became, like, the Crow Sting?
I do remember. Before he had, like, the whole... I mean, the Crow, yeah.
Yeah, before he became the Crow. Because I actually had an action figure. I was a big fan. I'm too a big fan of Sting. But I was a fan of him before he went all with the Crow. I had the action figure, and he had like the cool face, like blue and black face paint, and he had the bleached blonde high top part of the flat top.
Yeah. And it wasn't like his whole face. It was just like a little bit of it, right?
Yeah, it was like he had like, I guess they came like, around his eyes and his forehead, and they came down like points down his cheek.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have to say that he is probably – I like a lot. I like a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, me too.
I'm the Nature Boy.
Oh, yeah. Ric Flair. Everyone knows Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Woo! Woo! And Hulk Hogan. I mean, I liked Hulk Hogan, but then when he became, like, the bad guy, you know, the villain.
Oh, Hollywood. Hollywood,
yes.
Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. Hollywood. But I guess all of them played like a bad guy at one point.
Yeah. They flip flop back and forth. They would either be, was it the term a heel when they're a bad guy or a baby face when they're a good guy?
Yeah. I like The Rock too. But growing up, we didn't really watch. Like there were two wrestling networks and we didn't really watch the one that The Rock was on.
Yeah. Well, we eventually did because they ended up buying out WCW.
Yeah,
we grew up watching WCW first.
Yeah, they combined them.
Yeah.
But we grew up watching like the NWO and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh God.
Which originally too, I think like Hulk Hogan got his start on WWE and came like a bunch of them came to WCW.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. you know, they ended up coming to WCW, and then after a while ended up getting, you know, bought back as far as like, you know, them shutting WCW down. And then I started watching, you know, WWF at the time, but now it's WWE. Started watching that, and that was during the Attitude Era. So that was the whole Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock, Triple H, Generation X.
Mm-hmm. China.
Oh, yep, China. She was in Generation X. Yeah. Remember X-Pac used to be Six-Pac on WCW.
Yes, yes. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I liked him, too.
Yeah, when they were part of the NWO. Rey Mysterio Jr., another big favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love how acrobatic he was. Or he is. I think he's still wrestling.
I remember. He's still wrestling?
Yeah, I think. I'm pretty sure he's still wrestling.
I remember you having the Rey Mysterio action figure. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of them. I remember.
I did. Do you remember the story of me and our little sister Jessie playing when we were little?
I was there.
We were doing our introductions as they came to the ring and announcing them as they came in. So I had my Sting action figure. And I said, now come into the ring. Sting! We did that. I hopped in the ring and did my little stuff, whatever. And Jessie grabs one. I can't remember what action figure it was, but she grabs them, puts them at the top, and was like, now come into the ring, Bob Saget.
Bob Saget. I do remember that. And it was because
of Funniest Home Videos. America's Funniest Home Videos. He hosted that. And they did the announcements. And they're like, and now your host, Bob Saget. And that's the only one that's how much she knew. I mean, we were little though. We were little at the time.
We were really little, but oh my God. Yeah. I remember that.
I watched a lot of wrestling. We got big into like the whole NWO Wolfpack doing the sweet, where you do the kiss with the wolf making with your hand.
Yes, on one foot. You had to hop on one foot.
Yeah, hop on one foot and go sweet.
We used to do that in weightlifting. Do you remember?
We play basketball. This is a great story that actually was inspired by wrestling. It was actually me, Dave, and Harbor. David Harbor from the previous podcast story. We were in weightlifting together and you were there also. But you and some other girls would walk around the gymnasium just talking. Mm-hmm. And me and Dave and Harbor were sitting there talking and all the guys are picking teams to play basketball. And all of a sudden the game started and we were like, hey, whoa, what are you guys doing? And they were like, oh, we thought you guys weren't playing. We'll just, you know, pick you guys up or switch you out on next game. And I was like, oh, I don't think so. So I told David Harbor, I was like, look, we're going to get in here. It's going to be 5-on-5-on-3, okay? It's going to be five of them, and then three of us. And they're like, okay, let's do that. And so we jumped in and turned it into like a triple threat match. And then I told David Harbor, I was like, all right, look, when we get the ball, just steal it, and let's just act like we're going to shoot and just keep passing it back and forth. Honestly, saying the story, I really understand now how I do love fucking with people.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's awful. I love it. I love getting a rise out of people. Like,
it's so weird. Horrible. Like, I come up with these plans where I'm like, this is going to really piss them off. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But so that's what we did. We just passed it around, and then we actually, like, started playing, but then we started getting rough, and we turned it into, like, a contact sport, full contact sport.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were, like, throwing shoulders into people. We were, like, tripping them up and doing fucking like leg sweeps, and then it turned into just straight tackling people when they had the ball. I remember Tim was going to jump off another guy's back. Mike, I actually heard him as he was walking past. Tim told Mike, he's like, hey man, get on all four so I can slam dunk it. And you know, he whispered to him, but I heard. So I walked behind the basketball goal, and Mike got down on all fours. And as soon as Tim comes running in, he jumps to go step off his back, and I leap over Mike and spear Tim midair.
I remember that.
So I mean, it was pretty rough, and then it caught on. Like, we would just, that's how we would play basketball from then on out. That's how our basketball games were.
Do you remember how I got involved?
I was just about to say it. The ball got loose one day and rolled over to the girls walking around, including you.
Mm-hmm,
and you picked it up and you shot it and you made it. And we looked at them and said, hey, that's our point. She's on our team. She's NWO because me, Dave, and Harbor call ourselves the NWO.
Yep.
She'd be like, she's NWO. That was our point right there. And then it turned into from you just walking around the gymnasium to you were in the shit with us. You were in there throwing elbows. There was that one dude you kept bouncing the basketball off his face, off his forehead.
I hated that guy.
He fell for it every time. And he kept just getting so mad. You hit him in the head. He'd be like, really? Come on, stop it. And you start dribbling and he start trying to guard you. And all of a sudden, bam, off his head again.
We were such bullies. Yeah.
And then someone jumped on my back. Mm. Was it Tim? Or was it? I want to say it was Tim.
Might have been Tim or the head guy.
Yeah, maybe. It was either one of them jumped on my back and was trying to like wrap me up. And I just remember getting flung off me and hearing you go, get off, I am.
I did. I threw him off
shit.
Of me.
We were talking shit to each other while playing. So, our basketball games were fun. They were
epic. I remember I had to go to the nurse because I like busted my knee wide open while we were playing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got to get back to the game.
They need me out there in the NWO suite.
They need me. Yeah.
Cut me, nurse.
That was what I look forward to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like our free day because we would have running, we would have weightlifting, and then we'd have a free day.
Yeah, where we can just mess around, play basketball, run laps, do whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, those were some good times. The old NWO days. I remember I took auto tech when I was a freshman also, and the auto tech teacher never came out into the shop. He always just sat at his desk. He would tell us what to do, and we'd go out there, and then we wouldn't do it. We would just go back to, like, this locker room back behind the office where he couldn't see us, and we would just wrestle.
I mean, because why not?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to come out there, so we're just going to go back there and wrestle.
Oh, yeah, I had library class, and I basically just was, like, free labor for the library. I put the library books up. I checked people out, took their money when they had late fees. It was a good class. And then Josh, our cousin, who was in the same grade with me, they weren't gonna let him graduate unless he paid his library fees, and it was like a crazy amount, like $70 in library fees that he owed. And so I said that he brought in canned food to pay for it, and the library lady was like, so he brought in, because it was like 2 cans per dollar. So he brought in
140
like,
cans.
Yeah. And I was like,
mm-hmm. You can count them. Yeah. It'll take you a minute, but you can count them.
But like when they would bring the cans in, in the afternoon, the people that like took the cans would come and get them. So they weren't in the library very long. So there's no way to prove that I was lying. Oh. And so, yeah, they were like, yeah. He had 140 cans he brought in. I'm pretty sure it would have been cheaper for him just to pay his library fees, but. I had fun. I miss high school. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I had a good time, too. It was pretty fun. Yeah. The whole NWO stuff.
I miss the no responsibilities except for just your classes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, hanging out with friends. I was a cheerleader too, so we used to have fun doing that and going to the different schools and traveling because our girls made it to state 2 years in a row. Oh. So I got to cheer at the Dean Dome in Chapel Hill. Yeah, the Dean Dome where the Tar Heels play in Chapel Hill.
Dean Dome?
Yeah, the Dean Dome.
The Dean Dome.
Mm-hmm. The Dean Dome. So I got to cheer there and I got to cheer at NC State. So it's a pretty cool experience, right?
Yeah.
To be able to cheer there. And we used to go and watch those games, too. I remember in middle school we went. And it was me and Cody and another girl, and our cheerleading coach was driving. And it might have been Cody's mom that was driving, who was also a teacher. And we got lost. We could not figure out where to go. And so we asked a student. Like, we stopped, and they were walking on the sidewalk. And we're like, hey, where's the Dean Dome? And they like pointed and was like, oh, right there. And it was right beside us. And we're like, oh, that's what we thought.
Yeah, just making sure. Yeah. You know, we knew we were just making sure you guys knew.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Oh, yep, yeah. That's right. Yep. Point for you.
Guess what? You just won.
Oh, man, I had so much fun in school.
In skew.
Yeah.
But anyway, we kind of got off track there. The wrestling.
Oh yes, wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watching wrestling and stuff, because you had brought up the topic to me. I had talked about, I had just had a dream the other night. Did you mention to me today or was it yesterday?
No, it was today. Yeah.
Yesterday, yeah. You mentioned mm-hmm. to me saying, "Hey, we should talk about wrestling on the podcast." And I was like, "I just had a dream last night that I was drafted by the WWE. Like they were like, "Hey, we want you to be a wrestler." And I think it's because, you know, I've been just working out so much and trying to, like, you know, get buff and stuff. And so they came to me and was like, "Hey, you should be, you know, we want you as a wrestler." And I was like, "Word, I love wrestling. Let's do this." So I became a wrestler, and they had me immediately win the world championship title.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You were just that good.
I was just that good. I just came in, won the title, and boom, I was world champ. I had the big belt and everything. It was like a super quick dream, but I was like, you know, it was very fulfilling.
And then I asked you what your wrestling name was, and you were just like, "Oh, it's just Brooks."
Yeah, it was just Brooks. I don't think they actually, I don't remember in my dream them ever give me a wrestling name or like a thing. Like, I was just me.
Are there any wrestlers that don't have a name? At least a nickname? I mean, because there's Steve Austin, but he's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, and Steve Austin's not even really his name.
Right, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Maybe Rey Mysterio Jr. Is his name actually Rey Mysterio Jr.?
I doubt it's Mysterio.
What about Buff the Stuff Bagwell? I mean, maybe his middle name is the Stuff.
No, his name is Marcus.
Oh, that's right. We did. We already discussed that.
Yes. Do you remember when he was Vicious? Or no, he was Delicious. It was Vicious and Delicious. And was it Sid Vicious? Was
with him. Oh, Sid Vicious.
Mm-hmm. Vicious and Delicious. That's when I.
Oh, I know one. Batista.
Oh, Batista.
Yep, mm-hmm. Dave Batista.
I remember. Oh, my God. We went to the lake one year, and this was after I had had Cooper. But still a long time ago, because Cooper's 14 now. Mm. I think I was pregnant with Henry, and I was playing with Cooper, and the water had got, like, super low that year. You were there. And, like, I was at the end of the pier and was sitting down in the water with Cooper. Like, that's how low the water was. And I remember sitting at the end of the pier and seeing Daddy come up the pier, and he was drunk. So what? Drunk. He was stopping people and saying, "No, no, no. I'm not Batista."
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, I do remember that.
Like, oh, my God. They were like, okay. He's like, "I can see why you would get us confused, but no, yeah. I'm not Batista." And for anybody out there that doesn't know what our dad looks like, he looks nothing like Batista. He is bald and overweight and short.
So Batista.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good looking guy. Don't get me wrong. Our daddy is. But he does not look like Batista.
Well, you know, no, I don't think we can.
What?
I was going to say we should totally, speaking about like Daddy and then like me and his similarities, especially from that dancing video I sent you.
Oh, yeah. The dancing video.
I was like, oh, we should totally put that on our Facebook. But I don't know how that works with it actually having like a Lady Gaga song on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe if we say something like we don't have the rights to this music, I see other people doing that, but I don't know if that really helps or not.
Yeah. That might be just like a myth. Like people just tell people like, oh yeah, if you just say you don't have the rights to the music, then you'll be fine. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we'll do that then.
But it's great. But without the music, it's just you like moving funny.
Yeah. And that's essentially what Jesse was recording. And for those of you who don't know, I was playing Beat Saber on VR. So I had earbuds in, I had my headset on, I couldn't see or hear anything in the outside world. And I keep the door open because it gets hot when I get in here dancing and Beat Sabering, you know? And so she came by, I guess she just came by and saw me like really getting into the song and started recording. And so she couldn't hear the song. all she can see is me like mouthing the words to a song and like dancing around while swinging my hands around like a madman. I actually took the video and put the music to it.
It was perfect too, but it's a good video. Like, I wish we could share it.
Yeah.
I wish they weren't, like, we're not trying to make money off of it. I think that's the whole issue.
Well, I mean, I am.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if I can, I will.
Yeah, if anyone's looking for a backup dancer for their next music video, hey.
Hey, I want to be a backup dancer too. We could totally be backup dancers. Yeah.
How do you even try out for those things? Do you have tryouts?
Oh my God. All right. So when I was a senior in high school, I entered, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I entered a freestyle dance competition, and it was at the Greensboro Coliseum. And this was right before I started my senior year. We had that cheer competition that they have with the other schools in the county. Do you remember that? It was called the Jamboree or something like that. Well, it was the day before the Jamboree. I wanted to do this freestyle dance competition. So all the cheerleaders that, like, after we got done with our practice for the Jamboree, they went with me to the freestyle dance competition. A couple of them entered too, but they were there mostly to support me. And so I entered the freestyle hip hop section of it. And Maya was one of the judges. Do you remember Maya, the singer?
Wait, what
she's saying the ghetto superstar. That's what you are. She sang a bunch of other different songs, like the Moulin Rouge. She was one of those. Hey, sister, go, sister. She was one of those that sang. And so she was one of the judges, and I placed second in hip hop. Like, there were a ton of people, and I ended up placing second. And I did one of these routines I had been practicing. But anyways, she offered me a position to be one of her backup dancers and go on tour with her.
What?
Yes. So how you do that is you enter the dance competitions. Well, I asked.
So we just got to enter some dance competitions.
Yeah. Well, I asked Daddy, and he was like, no, you got to finish high school. Like, what kind of father is that?
You hear about all these successful people who quit high school and chased their dreams and became super famous.
Exactly. That could have been me.
That could have been you.
But then I think about it, and I'm like, where's Maya today?
But you could have made a reputation as a backup dancer. And eventually, like, didn't some people get their start as backup dancers? I want to say J-Lo started as a backup dancer.
She was a fly girl on in Living Color.
So right now, you should have J-Lo's life and she should have yours.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I should be doing the Super Bowl halftime show and people telling me I need to put more clothes on.
Yep. You should be M-Lo.
Damn it. M-Lo. well, you know, my middle name is Marie, so I was the original M&M. Mm.
Oh, the M&M?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Original M&M. Oh. Marshall Mathers. Mm-mm. Megan Marie.
Megan Marie.
But no, like, I always wanted to be a choreographer, even when I was real young. Like, do you remember me making you and Jesse dance?
I remember our mini dances that we had to do. I also remember that you were on the jump rope team.
That's how
I found out that I was super good at jump rope.
You were very good at jump roping.
Like, it was insane.
I used to show you the moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you showed me all the moves and taught me how to do stuff, and I was like insane at jump roping. Even though I was like a little heavy set fellow, but I could rock and roll on a jump rope. I actually remember I was in middle school and I won a jump roping competition through the whole grade.
Nice.
Yes, this little fat kid out jump rope like everybody.
I used to be involved in it. I was on the dance club. I was on the the clogging club. Do you remember that?
The clogging? Oh my, didn't you do like stilts or something like that?
I did.
Like, you were like stilt walker.
What was in the stilt club?
What is
club?
That?
We just walked around.
Who has a stilt club?
We would have these like programs and people come watch us. It was just the parents of the people in the stilt club. And we would do these like, what were they like? Obstacle courses on stilts. that was our program.
Like Ninja Warrior, but on stilts?
Yes. And I took them home. Like, they let us have our stilts.
Yeah, I remember. I remember them being at home because I remember us using them.
Yes, I used to get on them all the time. Yeah, I was in the steel club. I was on
the jumper club. We learned many things through you and your extracurricular activities.
No, if there was something out there, I was going to try it. Yeah. Like, I just wanted to try everything. And because, like, being at school and doing the extracurricular activities was like a break for me from going home and having to, like, wash dishes and do chores and take care of y'all.
Make us grilled cheese.
Yes. So much grilled cheese.
So many grilled cheeses.
But no, and just, I was very outgoing. Like, I just wanted to meet lots of different people and learn different things.
Yeah.
And I'm still like that. You know, it's just now I've got kids, so I can't really
meet people. Well, also, I kind of feel like I'm that way with jobs. Once I got out of high school, because I wasn't big on extracurricular activities in school. Mm-hmm. Once I got out of school and started learning different skills and jobs and stuff, I became very interested in seeing different stuff that I could do. So I have like a crazy variety of work history of like a bunch of different things that I've learned through the past and a bunch of different things I've done.
Well, you were on the football team for a little while too, but just so people know, our football team sucked.
it was god awful. I played 1 year, and then that was the year that the coach decided that they were going to do summer practices also. And I said, oh no. Summer was like my gaming time. That was like games for me.
Right.
I took one summer and I 100%ed Metal Gear Solid VR missions on the original PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is like a huge like deal for me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's up there. I don't think many people have ever done that. But
I mean, if somebody had a choice between that and football, they'd probably choose that, right?
Yeah, most likely.
I would think so.
Cause, I mean, football was like all right and stuff, but it was like, you know, we're gonna keep doing this through summer. Yeah, it's hot out here. You know that, right?
It's super hot.
You know, it gets hot in the summer, right? Does the coach know that it gets hot?
Y'all gonna run sleds? Like, I remember doing that in weightlifting, and I was like, I don't like this. I don't like having a sled attached to me, and I gotta run. That's stupid.
I didn't like running in general, let alone having a sled.
Yeah, and then the up downs. Oh my God. Because our weightlifting coach was also the football coach. So most of the stuff he made the football team do, he made us do too.
That was the shitty part too. I had weightlifting and football. So I had weightlifting first thing in the morning and then football practice like immediately after school.
Oh, did you hear that Coach Grayson passed away?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was just, I would want to say like right before Christmas, he passed away. He was a good man. What I remember about him was he treated that football field like it was gold. Like he wanted that football field looking good.
Oh, I did draw the cougar head that went on the football field.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did do that. They got me to do that.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to draw it on one of those see-through papers so that they can put it on the projector and then have them do it like real big so they can take it out to the field and use it to...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were really artsy. You did you take art every year?
No, I took art like once and I almost failed it.
Oh, because they didn't give you like the creativeness that you needed?
No,
or?
They wanted us to like sew shit and stuff like that.
Oh,
and, like,
that's not art. No.
I accidentally like wove my sweater into a piece of my artwork one time because I just wasn't paying attention. I mean, it was just mindless stuff, and I was just fucking, like, doing it, and then, like, the bell rang, and it was, like, time to go to the next class, and I go to move, and my sleeve gets stuck to this thing, and I'm like, what the fuck, and I pick it up, and I had woven, like, a couple inches from, like, my sleeve before I rounded back and went back into it, and I'm like, oh, shit, so I had to, like, cut it.
I mean, that's dangerous, right? They shouldn't make you do that.
Yeah, they shouldn't make you do that stuff.
Well, Cooper is an art, and he loves art at middle school because they give him creative freedom. You know, they'll give them like a theme and let them decide what type of art they want to create for that theme.
That's what I'm glad they're doing it now because that's what I needed. Because the stuff they would give me, it's pretty much the same with books and stuff that they would get you to read in school. When there were certain books, like I would start reading them and then I'm like, I'm not interested in this one bit. This does not, like, I'm just not a page turner. But every once in a while, I would get one book where I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. And I would, rock and roll all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should give you like options or choices or tell you, hey, get you a book, find you a book that you like, read it, write a report on or whatever.
Yes, that's what they should do because I had the same experience. I was in AP English in the 12th grade, which is advanced placement. We had to read Beowulf. Did you ever have to read Beowulf?
Yes, I actually have a really good story to follow this up.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, Beowulf sucked. I hated that story or whatever it was. And like, they wanted me to like analyze it and come up with what this meant. What, and like, how do you know?
Like, yeah, the author, like, you, like, they already know. You can just tell me.
Yes. Yes. The author wrote the book. How do you know that's what they were thinking? Maybe exactly. They just wanted to write a book about something.
People interpret things differently.
Yes. All right, what were you going to say about Beowulf? Right.
So in English class, when I was in school, was super boring. So I was a big cut up in English. Like, I was bad. Like, you remember the sticky hands you used to get in like the book, what do they call them? Bookmobile?
Oh, yeah. The bookmobile.
It was like the pins, and they had the sticky hands that would stretch and, like, you know, stick
to stuff. Oh, yes. I love those things where you, like, grab stuff and pull it to you.
Yeah. And I would play around with those to where I got crazy good with them. Like, I got crazy accurate. I would be pulling people's, like, pencils and shit off their desk or papers or, like, sticking stuff, like, in their, like, lunch bag and pulling it out.
Oh, God.
Like, I got crazy good, but I was playing with it one time, and someone knocked on the door, and the English teacher goes over there and goes to open the door, and she's talking to this person out in the hallway, and I'm just in there. I'm looking away from it, and I swing it up, and it hits the ceiling. It pulls the pin from my hand, and the whole thing gets stuck to the ceiling.
Oh, no.
And I look around like, oh, shit. And then everyone just starts laughing. And the teacher around is like, y'all be quiet. She goes back to, you know, talking. And so I'm like looking around. And I jump up on my desk and I start trying to reach for it. And everyone's laughing. I get back down real quick. She turns around. I told y'all be quiet. She turns back, starts talking. And I finally get back on my desk and I reach up. And I stand on my book and I grab it and pull it down and jump down and sit down real quick. And so, I mean, this is just the kind of shit I would do in English class.
Right.
But when it came to Beowulf, they gave us an assignment to read Beowulf. And did you ever hear or see the kid's story where they told the three little pigs, but from the wolf's perspective?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I love that story where all he wanted was a cup of sugar.
Yes, that's all he wanted was a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
So she gave us this assignment of telling the story of Beowulf from the dragon's perspective. And I had to work with a guy, we called him Boone, and Shane.
Oh, God.
It was us three. And I told them, I said, okay. just talking about these stories just makes me think of how crazy I was. And still I am, how I could come up with shit to fuck with people.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, okay, we're going to make the most dirtiest, scandalous story, but we're going to make it sound like it's not. But it really is. It's like, okay, God. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm down. I said, okay, all right.
Like all of these innuendos.
Yes. So it's essentially the story of how Beowulf killed and ate the mama and baby dragon, which upset the actual dragon, and the dragon ends up raping Beowulf before killing him. And so, but we worded it to where, like, you know, if you listen, like, you know, we say like stuff like he came up behind him and thrusted him.
Yeah.
Yes. Tore him in two. And after we wrote it, I was like, we started reading through it, and I could not hold it together. I kept laughing, and I said, dude, I can't. Whatever it is, we had to go up there and read it in front of the class.
Oh my God.
I said, dude, I can't do this. I was like, I'm cracking up right now, just thinking about it. And Boone was like, no, me neither. And Shane was like, I'll do it. He's like, I can keep a stone face. I'll do it. I said, all right, cool. So sure enough, he gets up there, and he's reading this fucking scandalous story with all these innuendos in it. And he is stone-faced, and I am dying laughing. I am, like, head down, crying, pounding my fist on my desk. Boone's cracking up, too. And after he got done reading the story, everyone clapped and everything, and Boone hit me on the shoulder. He's like, man, I was fine until you started laughing.
What grade did you make?
Huh?
Did you make a good grade?
I mean, I hope so.
I think she knew.
Yeah, we did. We put a lot into it, a lot of effort. And this is the kind of shit I would do with my papers. I even had one time. I don't even remember what the story was, but I turned it into like a Metal Gear Solid Terminator-esque story.
Oh, my God. Like
assassins from the future coming back to kill someone. I didn't get a good grade on that one. Like, I ended up writing like 11 pages front and back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you didn't get a good grade?
I didn't get a good grade on it.
Oh, that's bullshit.
It's
we
bullshit.
Should storm that school.
Storm the school. Bring it down.
Oh. I remember my favorite class in high school was Mr. Turner, U.S. history. Did you ever have him?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I love Mr. Turner. He was such a good storyteller. And I felt like I learned a lot because I was always paying attention because I wanted to hear what he had to say. But Josh, our cousin, was in that class with me. Mm. Nomi, my best friend, was in that class with me. Mm. And there was a lot of my friends, and then Sleepy, he just slept all the time. We just woke him up every now and then to tell him, hey, you got a test. we didn't know his name. We just called him Sleepy.
Oh.
And then there was Gary, and we would just meow at him. Like SpongeBob's Gary. Meow.
Oh.
Meow. But he told us that AIDS came from somebody having sex with a monkey.
Oh, this is where it came from.
Yes, on an airplane.
Oh, God. Because you came home and told us, and I made that joke where someone would walk in with a dude and a monkey and go, hey, what are you doing with that monkey?
Yes, and then it became a thing.
And then it became a thing. And that's how it all started. This is like a huge joke within like our like inner workings of our family now. Yeah. Where it's just always a random, like, well, what are you doing with that monkey?
We know that monkey, yeah.
What are you doing with that monkey?
But he told us that.
Yeah.
He also told us about Jeffrey Dahmer and how he almost got caught, but the cops thought it was just a gay love quarrel, so they didn't want to get involved.
Oh.
He even did like the whole gay, like, get away, get away.
Get away. Yeah. Stop it.
And then,
oh my God,
he talked about how Jeffrey Dahmer died. Do you know how Jeffrey Dahmer died?
No.
I laughed so hard that the teacher from the next door over came over to see what was going on. Like, I don't know if y'all know this. Like, y'all have heard me laugh on the show, but if I laugh hysterically, it sounds like a witch's cackle.
Yeah, it's pretty loud. And she throws her head back like a Muppet.
I do. Henry says it's like a mixture between Roseanne and a witch. I don't know if that's an accurate description, but that's what he said. Yeah. So he said that Jeffrey Dahmer went to jail. He didn't get the death penalty. But while in jail, a guy raped him with a broom handle and then beat him to death with it.
I think I did hear about that.
Yes. And like, he's doing, like, he's acting it out.
Like doing the hand motions and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So hard, like I can't stop, and people are just looking at me, and I'm like, oh my God, do y'all not see the same thing I'm seeing? This is hilarious. Like, a lot of other people are like into it, and me and Nomi are dying laughing, like they want to know the details, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, dude is getting raped with a broom and beaten to death with the same broom he got raped with. That's poetic justice. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah, I loved high school. It was great.
Good times. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's mainly what I'm taking from my high school moments, is that I loved to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Which carried over into my current life, because I still love to fuck with people. I still get like just quick off the top of my head ideas. So it's like, hey, you know what we should do?
We should mess with this person.
We should mess with this person. We should do this. Oh my God. I even did that. It was like years ago when I was working at the military surplus store with Jesse. We would do stuff to mess with people. Like, we'd come up with stuff, and I'm like, hey, you know what we should do? And there was this guy who always came in, and his name's Zach, and he'd come in and start talking to us. And I told her at random, we're just going to yell out loud. You know, one of us look at one of the other and yell out loud, he's in the woods, and we're just going to run out the back door. And that's what we totally did. We're just standing there talking, and he's telling the story. We're listening, and Jesse looks at me and goes, he's in the woods. I look at him and go, and then we just take off running and go out the back door. And we come in laughing, and he is just stunned. He's just like, what the fuck? And he just starts laughing. He's like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. But I crack that dude up all the time. He did this thing. He's in the military, and he started doing the thing where, like, you stack up on walls. You know, like they have, like, guns or whatever. And they're like, mm-hmm. What's going on the walls? And he stops. And he looks in the doorway into the other room, looks back at me. I was behind the counter. And he holds his hand up, like, flat, and holds it to his face. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of hard to explain. Like, if you flatten your hand, hold it to your face, but have it to where, like, you're stopping someone from poking you in the eyes like Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And apparently it's like a military signal for stack up. But when he turned and looked at me and did that, and I was like, Two-Face? Oh my God, Two-Face is in there? And he ended up on the floor laughing from that response.
Oh my God, you couldn't have been in the military because.
No, I couldn't. I love messing with people too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd get like some shit to go down. Someone would go start shooting, and they would just have like sand come out their gun. I'm like, I got you, fucker.
I got you, good, you fucker.
I got you, good, you fucker.
I like to mess with people too. I still do it. I mess with the kids all the time. Having kids is like having somebody to mess with 24/7.
Oh, that's positive.
Yeah, like Daddy used to mess with us.
Yeah, that's true.
He loved it. Yeah. His number one thing I think to do was to fart and then look at us and wait for us to smell it and then laugh.
Or call us in there to do just very tedious stuff.
Yeah. Oh, he used to tell y'all to tell me to make him a drink. Mm-hmm. And I'm
he
like,
he called me in there one time to get me to hand him a pillow that was across the couch from him.
It is great. You have kids, like I make my kids do stuff like that for me all the time. Yeah. I never have to do anything.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, you got kids, might as well make the best of them before they grow up and leave.
Oh, exactly. Cooper and Henry, I made them, they were cleaning. We were doing like a spring cleaning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Cooper was like, oh, we're like your servants. I was like, I don't pay you. You're more like my slaves. And then Cooper says, but we're not black. Oh, God. I was like, oh, Cooper. He was just learning about it in school, though. So yeah. I can't blame him. I was like, oh, you don't got to be black to be a slave. Oh. Anybody can be slaves. So yeah, I got a six slave team.
Right, I mess for with you.
Them. I mess with them a lot. I even like sometimes get the other kids in on the messing with one kid. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah,
we'll team up.
Sometimes you need a team to pull off a good mess with job.
Yeah. Mhm. And they mess with me.
The best team.
They mess with me. Oh, they get me back too. I was on. I think I told you this. I was on a conference call. With the company that I used to work for, and it was our monthly team call. So everybody's on the call, and it's a video call. And everybody has a chance to speak about their clients and how they're doing. And, you know, it was my turn to give my presentation. I'm on the camera. They wait until it's my turn, and then they run up here and say, Henry says, Mama, Mama, Cooper rubbed his butt on my doorknob. And then Cooper says, but my butt is clean. They just waited, and then everybody starts laughing on the team call, and like I can't gather my thoughts of what I was gonna say. I was like, can y'all just come back to me?
Pass.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I never know what they're gonna do. They're always getting me back.
Yeah, we were just as crazy when we were little kids. You remember the time I signed the wrong name in the written movies?
We went to the It was a convenience store / movie rental place. Mm-hmm. And we got you to sign it. And it was Daddy's membership.
Yeah. And so we had to sign in Daddy's name every time we checked out movies and whatnot.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And I signed my name. And then I think it was it you that actually pointed out, like, as I was signing it?
Yeah.
You're like, no, Daddy's name. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I signed the wrong name. And I slid it back to him. Give me another one. But I mean, it was straight Whoopi Goldberg.
It was. Yes, I was Patrick Swayze.
You were Patrick Swayze. I was Whoopi. Oh God,
that was good. Well, we had so much fun when we were younger.
We did.
Oh, we had a lot of freedom.
We did. We did have a lot of freedom. I remember that time. Betsy went to the skate park to go hang out with the skate park kids.
Oh, all right. So I had already moved out by then.
Oh yeah. Well, me and Ryan, I think we were still in high school. And Ryan was over, and they wanted us to go check on him. I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead. And we go about to leave. I was like, hang on. If we're going to skate park, I'm grabbing my skateboard.
Oh God.
And I had the old fashioned, like the big ass skateboard.
Yes, from like the 90s.
And I took it even a step further, and I had me and Ryan dress up in like our, I'm pretty sure they were our middle school gym shorts. because they were super short. We put on white socks that went almost up to our knees.
Mm-hmm.
And bandanas.
Oh, y'all were super cool.
Yeah. And we strolled up in there. And I remember Shane's little brother was up there too. And he said, you know, he's like, Brooks, what do you got? A surfboard? I said, man, we just come over here and do some skating, you know, show you kids how it's done. And me and Ryan would take turns going on like that big ramp where we would hold each other while the other sat on the skateboard. and then the other one would just let go of them so they could ride the skateboard down.
Oh my God.
And then they were doing kick flips over like stacks of cans and trying not to knock over the cans. And we would just ride our skateboard up to the cans and then shoot the skateboard backwards while we jumped over the cans.
It was easy to embarrass Pussy. Yeah.
So, honestly, this is a lot of stuff that can go into our show.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
These are a lot of moments that could be in like a good TV show. That's just hilarious.
And then we're doing interviews with late night people. We're telling them about how our childhood inspired some of the episodes of our show.
Yeah. Because then they'll play clips and whatnot. And they're like, hey, we got a clip from your show here. And they play it. And like, you know, that actually, it turns out that actually happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened. Mm-hmm. We did that.
We totally did that. We totally talked about that monkey during supper one night.
Yeah. That monkey is a long-run joke in our family.
I remember, oh, my God, we always used to laugh so hard during supper. And it used to make Mama so mad.
Yeah. I recall that as well.
But Daddy used to start it. Why we get in trouble?
Yeah. We're just going along.
Oh, all right. Last thing to talk about before we have to go. We've already went over an hour.
We're over an hour? Like an hour over? Or?
Yeah, no. We went over the hour mark.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like we've already gone.
No. We're only like over. 10 minutes over an hour.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. But do you remember when we had to decide who was going to wash the dishes, so we ended up fighting over it to Betsy.
Oh, yeah. Betsy was standing at that little counter.
Yeah.
At the kitchen. And me and you came up with that awesome plan where we were going to argue over who was going to wash dishes. And we were back and forth. We're like, no, I'm going to wash dishes, and this is why I'm going to wash dishes. No, I'm going to wash dishes. And Betsy chimes in and goes, I'm going to wash dishes. And we both went, all right, and we just walked away.
Yep, exactly. Yep. We used to trick her, so it was so easy.
It was too easy.
Yeah, but she was a lot younger than Jesse was to us. So Jesse got on to some of our schemes.
Yeah, I mean, I would still trick her. We still trick her too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one time I was like super proud. I stole her chicken filet sandwich, or no, her fish filet sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were playing a video game or something like that, and I ate mine like pretty quick. And I was like, oh, that was way too quick. And she had just opened her styrofoam container with hers in it and was just playing a game with her just a sandwich, just sitting there defenseless. And I took a couple straws and MacGyvered a hooking device. Like legit, I straight like quickly MacGyvered two straws together, bent one of the ends down to make a hook, and reached over with the straws, hooked her styrofoam container, and pulled her container to me without her noticing, and ate her sandwich.
We used to get her good.
Oh,
poor Jesse.
Yeah, poor Jesse and Betsy.
Yeah, I guess.
But hey, now they're better people for it.
They totally are.
Now they're probably a little more suspecting of people trying to trick them.
I think they would be, right?
Mm-hmm. If like someone's going to try and scam them, they're like, hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. I've been here before.
This. I've been scammed a lot when I was a kid, so I'm not falling for this BS, you know?
Nope. You're telling me you really want to wash the dishes? I don't think so.
I don't believe it. Don't nobody want to wash dishes. I learned that the hard way.
All right. Well, that wraps it up, I think.
Yep, that's it. That's it for this episode.
Oh, well, let me write down scamming people. And hey, if you guys have anything you want to say to us, anything at all, do you think my voice is annoying? Let me know. I want to hear from you.
Yeah. And if you think my voice is super sexy and soothing, let me know.
Oh, wait a second before we go. Kevin was playing Call of Duty, and there was somebody who was playing with it sounded exactly like me. And he was like, oh my God, this is you. Are you playing? And I'm like, no, I'm not playing. Come to find out, it was a 10-year-old boy.
See, I told you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of females do voiceovers for little boys.
I think I could do it. If anybody has any gigs out there for me or for Brooks,
let us know. You can find me on Fiverr at Brooks_Ferguson.
Yeah. And you could find me on Facebook at Megan.
At the Sisbro Show. Send us a message. Leave us a voice thing.
Yes, leave us a voice thing. We really want to hear from you. Let us know anything. Any of the questions we've asked, anything that you want to hear us do or talk about.
Your stories of tricking your siblings when you're younger. Oh, yes.
I would love to hear some of these.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. It'll be kind of like, oh, damn, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, we'll read them on the air. And if anything, don't tell me about them so you can read them to me and I can have like an honest reaction to them.
All right. Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah. See?
All right. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.